whenever I get around to it. Boy, I'm having too much fun now. If that's your attitude, that I'm having too much fun now and I don't have time for Christ, you are signing your death warrant. Why don't you stand with me, please, as we honor God's word in John chapter 12 and verse 37. But though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him, that the saying of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spake, Lord, who hath believed our report, and to whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed? Therefore they could not believe, because Isaiah said again, he hath blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, that they should not see with their eyes, nor understand with their heart, and be converted, and I should heal them. These things said Isaiah when he saw his glory and spake of him. Nevertheless, among the chief rulers also many believed on him, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. For they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. Jesus cried and said, He that believeth on me, believeth not on me, but on him that sent me. And he that seeth me, seeth him that sent me. I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. And if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not, for I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me. He gave me a commandment, what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak. Our Heavenly Father, I pray this morning that I would speak what we have learned from your word, that they'd not be Stan Griffin's opinion, but they would be from the heart of the things of the Lord. God, I pray your Holy Spirit would work on us today, that there would be no one that would leave this room missing the opportunity or not enjoying the experience of believing in you. Bless this time in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. The key word in our text this morning is believe. Say that word with me, believe. One more time, believe. As you look at your text, you can see over and over that I've got it underlined in my Bible, verse 37, believed, verse 38, believed, verse 39, believe, verse 42, believed, verse 44, believeth. Believeth, verse 46, believeth, verse 47, believe. Now, God doesn't have a stuttering problem. If he says something that many times, he's trying to get us to understand that that's an important concept. The word believe could be defined as what we put faith in to entrust, especially with a person's spiritual well-being. This is the end of Christ's public ministry. At this point here, nowhere else you're going to see him feeding 5,000 or speaking to great crowds. From this point on, verse number 36 says, while ye have light, believe in the light, that ye may be the children of the light. These things spake Jesus and departed and did hide himself from them. So from this point on, he's working in the shadows, undercover, if you will, still teaching, still especially spending time with the disciples, but his public ministry is over. Those that have heard the message had their chance, and now he has moved on. John 8:12 says, Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. John 9:5 says, As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. I believe he was talking about those things and alluding to those things because the recognition was he would not always be around to shed the light that he was showing people. Not only was Jesus the light, he was telling them that the light to show the way of salvation for them was a temporary situation. So I've got 3 points this morning. One of them I think is going to be a little bit controversial, but before you vote me out as the pastor, let me state my case, okay? Number one, you won't argue with this. Life on earth is a temporary situation. Hebrews 9:27 says, "It is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment." James 4:14 says, "Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away." We are reminded of the brevity of life in our church recently. Obviously, Jeff McLeod was 65. Is that right, Patty? 64. You're older. Okay, I got that mixed up. I was thinking, okay, so Patty is the youngest. You're 65. You're 60. The youngest 65-year-old I've ever known by far. Now, that woman, she's still operating on a four-year-old level, and it's just, she is so young. But Jeff was 64. Jeff was young, too. Strong, fast, determined, all the things that I am not. And Jeff was young to me. Even if you make it to be 100, that's not a long time in the light of eternity. That's not a long time in the light of history. We say, I have a saying that I read somewhere and I never forgot it. Life is short, death is sure. Sin the cause, Christ the cure. But life is short. And we're reminded of that from time to time. And obviously, none of us get out of here alive. And I mentioned to Rodney, over to the Rodney Bowden door, over there where he is always faithfully standing. What a great guy. He had a heart attack. He hasn't been with us. I understand his health is, he's doing fine. But Rodney's 82. And he and I were talking the week before he had his heart attack. And I said, it seems like life lately has turned into an elimination event. It's just we're wondering who's going to be the last one standing when we're all done, because it seems like funerals have become so common in our church lately, not for any particular reason, but sad thing is, and you and I, as we're getting older, recognize this, my dad is elderly, my mom is elderly, so many elderly people in our families that we are at a position in life at my age where this is how life goes. And this is kind of a depressing topic. If you dwell on it too much, it will depress you. But the fact of the matter is, life is short. Number two, and this is where I might get in trouble with you folks, but let me explain this. Salvation is a temporary offer. When I was young, Dad would talk about there were certain things Dad wanted. Of course, we grew up as a car family. Working in a garage, you'd see cars, you'd see classic cars, you'd see models. Wow, this, it's like in the oil business, I'd walk into homes and think, I could never afford this. And usually what I would say is, my wife can never see this house. Because I'm thinking, there's nothing in here. That all it does is give her ideas that I can't afford, okay? So, but when we were in the car business, you'd see cars that you would say, wow, I'd sure like to have that. And so sometimes Dad would see a vehicle, usually a collectible car, and he would go to the owner of that car, and he would say, I want to make you a standing offer on that car. What he meant by that was, I'm going to tell you what I'll give you for that car, and any time you want it, you just come see me. You can have it. And so he'd come home, and he said, I talked to so-and-so today. I gave him a standing offer on that car. And we knew that was the strongest language my father could use on making an offer for something, is that he really wanted that. Well, salvation in Jesus Christ, by that definition, is not a standing offer. And let me show you that in God's Word. Look at our text this morning. In verse 37 to 41, there's some troubling verses. We've already read them, but though he did so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him. Jesus Christ, walking on this earth, did some very convincing things. Verse 38, that the saying of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spake, Lord, who hath believed our report? We're doing all this, no one's believing us. 39, they could not believe because Isaiah said again, he hath blinded their eyes, hardened their heart, that they should not see with their eyes and understand with their heart and be converted, and I should heal them. So what that passage is talking about is that the very work of Christ, who would be a better soul winner than Jesus Christ? You know, every now and then you talk to someone and you're trying to get them to trust our Savior. As Nick just sang, let me tell you about my Jesus. I love the lyrics to that song. Let me tell you about my Jesus. I can't believe who in the world would not want Christ? Who would say no to what we have in Christ? Sins forgiven, a home in heaven, peace in the midst of the storm, hope in every situation. Who doesn't want that? And how much? Free. Free. How many businesses out there, their big gimmick is, well, if you come in, we'll give you X. You come to Christ, He gives it all to you. The price has already been paid. I am in shock that people say no to Christ. I am. I don't know why everyone's not a Christian. But at times you'll talk to someone and you'll think, maybe if Wendell had talked to him, maybe they would have believed. Or maybe if someone else had come, if Billy Graham were here, maybe, or Billy Sunday or D.L. Moody, and you wish that you could have heard some of the arguments that those guys made because it's obvious God had blessed their ministry. And you think, and then you can't help but think, if Jesus Christ talked to people and they didn't get saved, well, we're all in trouble. But the fact of the matter is, there is a process that takes place in the story of the gospel. And in that process, God reveals the light to you. Jesus said, I'm the light of the world. That light will not always be there. And as God showed them that light, there was a group of people for various reasons that refused to believe. It starts in the book of Genesis when the salvation is a temporary offer. In Genesis 6:3, we were taught this verse. You should all know Genesis 6:3. My spirit will not always strive with man. Say that with me. My spirit will not always strive with man. That's Genesis 6:3. That's one of the early salvation verses that we use when we went on soul winning. Is you've got to recognize that the offer of salvation does not last forever. God told Noah that I want you to build an ark. During the time you're building that ark, you will continue to share the message of God Almighty. We wouldn't say the message of Jesus Christ because that's not what it was in the Old Testament. But you and I would say the message of Christ. You're going to share that, but I'm going to give them 120 years. At 120 years, you're going to get on the ark, and anybody that wants to join you can get on the ark, but the door's going to be shut. God drew a line. Noah built the ark, and nobody believed. 120 years. Now, 120 years sounds like a long time, but it wasn't really when you configured the average lifespan was about 900 before the flood. So that's really only, I did the math, that's 13 to 14% of a person's life was 120 years. I'm not going to build a biblical principle out of that, but it's possible that you and I have an opportunity to receive Christ about 13% of our life, 14% of our life. Maybe, I don't know, but I will tell you this. God said, my spirit will not always strive with man. Don't you think that I'll get saved whenever I get around to it? Boy, I'm having too much fun now. If that's your attitude, that I'm having too much fun now and I don't have time for Christ, you are signing your death warrant. It does not work that way. We can see God's patience wear out all through the Bible. The 10 plagues of Egypt was one after another, after another, after another, until finally the death angel flew over. There was no more chance. The judgment of the Israelites in the book of Judges, you see where the people of God would rebel against him and he'd send a judge. And then they'd repent, and he'd come back. But there was time after time where God said, okay, I'm all through with you. Trouble's coming. 2 Thessalonians, in the last days. Let's go to that passage very quickly. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. In the New Testament, 1 and 2 Thessalonians, 1 and 2 Timothy, Titus. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. If you're using a pew Bible, that will be on page 1272. 2 Thessalonians, well, I like this passage so well. Let's start right out with 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by a gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled by the Spirit or by word nor by letter as from us as that day of Christ is at hand, let no man deceive you by any means. For that day shall not come. Now we're talking about the return of Christ. That day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, that the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. I want to just touch on the falling away first. When Christ comes back, some of the signs that we will see in our world will be apostasy in the church, Christians no longer following the Lord. I think COVID has been, again, part of the falling away. If COVID has done anything, it has refined the body of Christ. Those that were looking for an excuse not to come to church found it in COVID. Now, there are some that are listening by way of DVD or online. We post all our messages. If you, before the Lord, feel like you should be staying home, I would disagree with that, but that is your choice. We're going to talk about the judgment seat of Christ, and you will stand before the Lord, and so will I. And I am not telling you you are wrong, but for me personally, for Stan Griffin, I believe I should be going to church, fellowshipping with the body of Christ, and letting the Lord take care of whatever my physical well-being may be. But I would rather go down swinging for the Lord than hiding on my couch at home. Now, I know that's offending a lot of people listening to me, and I am sorry. My mother used to say, don't apologize. Well, I will. I am sorry if this upsets you, but that is my conviction that I want to be, and I believe I should be, around the body of Christ. And you pray about it and see what the Lord will tell you. Having said that, the Bible says there's going to be a falling away first. We see that in the apostasy in the church. Churches that used to preach the gospel and stand for the truth no longer do. That can't be argued. What in the world is going on now where we are ordaining gay clergy to lead our churches? That is just wrong, 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 and don't tell me that a God of love is okay with that. No, His word is very clear that that is wrong. It's in black and white in God's word. That is apostasy in the church, and it cannot be tolerated. But in the last days, we will see that sort of thing. There are other instances of that. I know this is controversial, and people say, how can you talk like that? Well, the truth has to be told. Churches have to stand for the truth, and it's not popular, and I understand that. But we will give an account when we stand before God, and these things need to be said. So there will be a falling away first. I think we are experiencing some of that right now. Verse number 4, talking about the man of sin be revealed. What will he do? He opposes and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself to be God. This is the Antichrist will come onto the scene, but he can't yet. Okay? Remember ye not when I said I was with you. Verse 6, and now ye know that with what withholdeth that he might be revealed in his time. Here's the key right here. Here's why we know that the Antichrist can't come. He's not here. The Antichrist is probably alive. He's probably somewhere. You and I may even know him. He's just not taken that position of authority yet, and he can't because you and I are here and the Holy Spirit is here. Verse number 7, for the mystery of iniquity, in other words, the mystery of sin, the underlying, what is causing all the trouble in the world? Well, that mystery, that thing that behind the scenes evil. Remember, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. We can't see that, but there are dark forces behind the scenes doing what drives us crazy as we watch the news and the riots in the streets and all of those things. Those are people being used by the enemy that we cannot see. I hope I haven't lost you. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work, only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. Now, the NIV says it in a more understandable way, for the secret power of lawlessness is already at work. Would you agree with me that lawlessness is at work? Okay. 3 or 4 of you both all do. So, but the one who now holds it back will continue to do so until he is taken out of the way. Who's the one that holds it back? Well, that's the Holy Spirit. That, yes, lawlessness is at work, but it ain't nearly as bad as it will be. when the church is taken out and the Holy Spirit is gone. Hello, Dolly. That is going to be trouble. And when the wicked shall be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is in the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness and unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause, and this is where salvation's a temporary situation. Listen to this. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. So here's the deal. The message of the gospel, the light of Jesus Christ, is shined on an audience. The Cornerstone Baptist Church right here. There could be people sitting here right now, convicted by the Holy Spirit, recognizing that they're not saved, never having prayed, Lord Jesus, come into my heart and be my Savior. Forgive my sins. I want you to be my Savior. I want you to be the Lord of my life. That's the salvation experience. If that happens, Christ comes into you. He owns you. He controls you. You live for him. We experience the joyful Christian life. But there are those that will listen to that and say, all you Christians, you guys, you never have any fun. You're always telling me I can't do this, I can't do this, I can't. Listen, God puts up guardrails to keep you on a safe road. There are things you should not do. Ask the alcoholic now if he wishes he'd ever had that first drink. Ask the drug addict now if he was okay that he thought he could handle his drug abuse. Ask that pornographer that said, oh, I just want to look a little bit, and now they can't stop. I'm told that those that are addicted to pornography can't go a day without looking at a picture. I wonder if they're enjoying that now. And so there are people that will say, well, you know what, Stan, you guys, you do your thing and I'll do mine. And when I get to heaven, I'm pretty sure before I die, I'm going to do me one of those deathbed things. You know what? You are crossing a line that the Bible says if you choose pleasure of unrighteousness over the things of the Lord, there's a good chance God's going to slam the door and you cannot get saved, though you seek it with tears. It's over. It's over. There was a man years ago that used to come into our service station. I was just a young kid. He was going through a tough time in his life, and his name was John. I said, John, you need to trust Christ as your Savior. He was a man in his 50s. He later died of colon cancer. And I said, John, you need to trust Christ as your Savior. I quoted verses. I told him all about faith in Christ, and he stood there with the tears coming down his eyes, and he said, Stan, I know you're right. I just cannot do that. And to my knowledge, he never accepted Christ as his personal Savior. I met with a man that lived on our road. I preached his funeral. And I sat down with him, and I said, you've got cancer. You're not going to live. You're going to stand before God. Would you like to trust Christ as your Savior? He looked at me, and he said, Stan, I never felt like I needed that. To my knowledge, he never trusted Christ as his Savior. I sat at the bedside of a relative, had the same last name as me. I looked at him and I says, you're in trouble. Can I pray with you? No, sir, don't you do that. Not even interested in it. I'm rarely, even the lost will be glad to have someone pray for him. Not him. I don't believe he ever trusted Christ as his Savior. I don't know how you can say no to Christ, but people do. And I have to figure, for that man that's crying but not willing to accept Christ, for that man that says, don't you even pray for me, for that man that says, I've never felt the need of that, if that's the case, then the Holy Spirit is not even speaking to those people. And I'm here to tell you this morning that if the Holy Spirit is speaking to you this morning and you've never trusted Christ as your personal Savior, this may be the last chance he'll ever speak to you. Don't you think, well, maybe tomorrow, maybe next week. You know what? People die. You're not guaranteed of getting home alive when you get out of here. A lot of women drivers on the road. You don't know. Oh, how could I say that? Now, that was not from the Holy Spirit. I'll tell you that right now. But you don't know, and I don't know. And if God, the offer of salvation was not temporary, if it was a standing offer, You could trust him when you stand before him. Why would he take it off the table just because we're here? You don't stop living. You just change addresses. Well, if it's a standing offer that never goes away, I'll just trust him when I see him. No. No, the Bible says that that's too late. Because the Bible says we'll all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And for the lost, in Revelation chapter 20 and verse 11 through 15, the Bible says there's a great white throne. And I won't read the passage this morning because we're out of time, but I'll tell you what. The Bible says that whosoever was not written, found written in the Lamb's book of life was cast into the lake of fire. And this is the second death. That's Bible, folks. That's the truth. We've staked our eternal soul on it. And I want you to know that life is temporary. The offer of salvation is temporary. But to trust Christ, and let me close with this. In John chapter 12 and verse 49, but I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, he gave me a commandment, what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Life may be temporary, the salvation offer may be temporary, but to trust Christ is not temporary. That is life everlasting. What do you got? What do you own? What do you possess? It's going to last forever. How about that Ford you're driving? Chevrolet? Toyota? Yeah. On a still, quiet night, you can hear every one of those vehicles sitting in your yard rusting. They don't last. The clothes you have on your back, whatever it is, folks, everything in this life does not last. But a relationship with Jesus Christ lasts forever. Satisfaction guaranteed.